We're on this topic of the Lord's Prayer. And it's been, for me, just a journey to just delve deeper, you know, to go into a place where it's so easy to recite the word, you know, it's so easy to think of them as, you know, generalities, but to really kind of dive deeper, to kind of get into that place and say, okay, Lord, what does this really mean? You know, how does this connect on a personal, intimate level, or how does it connect in a corporate level? And that's kind of where we've been going. So we've already covered some state phrases, some of these statements we're all very familiar with. Let's just go through the first little section together. Let's just say the Lord's Prayer. And let's say all of the Lord's Prayer. So let's just speak it out to the Father. I want us to say it slowly. So it's not like, oh, we got to get through this quick. And each time we say a phrase, think about it. Okay, so just follow my lead, okay? Let's all do this together. Our Father. Just relax for a minute. Let it sink in. Let's say it together. Who is in heaven? Holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or the evil one. Let's make that declaration at the end. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As we go through that, even line by line and phrase by phrase, word by word, something of the Lord's connection is made, isn't it? Something of His truth, His word is brought home if we just reflect and meditate, mull it over. How many felt God give you stuff while you're praying? And you know, this is a good habit to get into is, as we read the word, as we declare the word, let the Lord minister to us. So we've covered these things already, some of them. We looked at our Father who's in heaven. Of course, it just takes us to a different place of relationship when we understand who he is and what he thinks of us. And, you know, that song we sang earlier, I was thinking, you know, we sing, "You are beautiful." When we think of his glory, his majesty, his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his love, it's just way beyond this. It's not just his physical character that we're looking at. It's looking at his whole character. And we can say, "Yes, you are beautiful." And oftentimes when I sing that song, I see the Lord just repeating it to me. "Well, you're my child, and you're created in my image, so you're beautiful." I look at that song often as a song that God sings to me. Isn't that amazing? That God can look at you and I, look even beyond the physical characteristics of our life, and look at the inside and say, "I created you beautiful. Inside and out, you're beautiful. You're created in my image." That's our Father who is in heaven. Amen. And we've considered his name to be holy, majestic. His name is way beyond us. His ways are way beyond us in that way. So we've considered those thoughts. And then last time we were together, we talked about his kingdom coming. You know, we pray that his kingdom would come. And as we pray for his kingdom to come, it's a natural outflow of that expression when we pray his kingdom come, to pray this next phrase that we're talking about today. When we say his kingdom come, we're actually saying, "Not my kingdom, your kingdom." So what we want displayed on earth, our prayer is, "God, your kingdom come. Your rule come. You be the sovereign. You always wanted to be." And it's not like you wanted to be a sovereign that will just be. See, a proper king would take care of his people. A proper king would provide for his people. He would protect his people. They would feel comfortable, safe, and secure. That's what a king's job is to be. If I give him that place and I say, "Lord, that's what I want, your kingdom come." So it's in that place where we go from that phrase saying, "Your kingdom come." You got your best interest in my life. I'm allowing you to take that, what's your ways, which are way beyond my ways. And then we go into that next phrase, "Your will be done." Because your will is good. Your good is perfect. Your will is acceptable. I love that in Romans 12. It says when we know his will, it's good, perfect, and acceptable. God's kingdom, his purposes, his will. See, his will is really his purpose, his plans, his wishes, his desires. Now, again, it's the same thing. If we're saying his kingdom come, we're saying, "Well, let your rule come." And we're saying his will be done. We're saying, "God, your wishes, your plans, your desires, your purposes, let them be. But if we didn't realize that there were good plans, as it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, his plans are what? To prosper, to bless, not to harm. Give us a hope and a future. Thank you. So these are the plans of God. God's plan. So if I'm praying in regard to God's kingdom and God's will, I'm thinking about, let's just think about human tragedy and human suffering, like, you know, global picture. Is it God's will for people to suffer? Is it God's will for affliction and mass, you know, even just crimes that are just so violent? It's not the will of God. So is it God's will that there be righteousness and justice and equity? You know what I'm saying? So what we're saying is, God, this is our prayer. We're aligning. See, it's like it's alignment here now. When we're praying, we're aligning ourselves up with God's desires and God's wishes and God's plans and purposes. Now, we're going to take it from a couple of different angles. So few things I want to share. First of all, when I recognize that what we're to pray for is God's will, God's plan, God's purposes, God's desires, God's wishes, then how do I know what those are? The primary source, amen, the primary source of knowing what God desires, what God's plans, God's purposes, God's wishes are, is the Word of God. You know, I love it when people start saying, you know, I need to read the Bible. Here's the thing, sadly, and I'm going to say a few things that hopefully stir you a little bit, hopefully inspire you a little bit, and maybe challenge you a little bit. It's not enough just to come Sunday morning thinking that, hey, I'm going to be like a little chickadee in the nest waiting for Mama to come and give me a bite of food, or Papa in this case. Last week it was a Mama, I hear. That's awesome. Abby preached last week. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's not enough. Or I can plug my thing in and that's going to give me an inspiration, or I'm going to put in a CD or listen to a podcast or go on YouTube. Not enough. No. I've had to discipline myself in a new way. I think I told you that. You know, it's been a blessing to me personally to have God's word put into my heart from a younger time in my life. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 18. I'll be 60 this year. That's 42 years of knowing Jesus. So I'm thanking God for those years of investment, you know, to get close to God. But the Lord challenged me this past year. He gave me a boop. My time away with him was like, boop. It was a good time, but it was a time of saying, you know what? You can't take for granted that you know because you know, because you think you know. You know the word. You have this much of it in your memory, much of it like that. You know what I'm talking about. He just said to me, listen, you got to get back in the word yourself in a disciplined way. So this year, I've been encouraging you guys. Some of you maybe taking a challenge on. Don't give up. It's only early in the year. Maybe you want to start now. But I just said, I'm going to read through the Bible again. That was a discipline the Lord showed me. Now, that's beyond anything else that we might do in terms of study and reading. I'm just saying God, first and foremost, communicates his will, his desire, his plan, his purposes to us through his word. So what do we get when we read the word? Well, there's different ways that God can use his word to give us the direction, to give us his will, to give us his mind. Okay. So and one of the ways that we get to hear what God's will and purpose is when we're praying is we get to get a sense of who God is. We get to get a sense of what God's like. God is not like my imagination, which may be pretty, you know, it might be good or bad. It might be, you know, might be lacking imagination. But regardless, God is not like my imagination of just what I think he's like. God is like what he says and what his word says he's like. It's so important. So when I'm getting a sense of knowing how to pray for his will to come, I need to get a sense of what he's like. It's like this. I'm in a relationship for 36, better get it right here now. She might listen to this on later, so. But it's been 37 years, I believe, going into that, or 36. Anyways, close to that. Somebody do the math. Anyways, but it's amazing how much of our relationship, because of our time together, our hanging out, our sharing, our talking, I get to know what they're like. I get to know what she's like. You know, I get to know her, and it's like, you know, you don't have to be married very long. You don't have to be in a relationship with anybody too long in the context of closeness to know what they're like and what their expectations are. A long time I realized this. This is just, you know, that, you know something? Shelly loves plants, by the way. Shelly loves plants and she loves flowers, but she's not much necessarily for me bringing home flowers. Somebody might be. You know what I used to do when we were first married I would, when I go to New Brunswick in Nova Scotia, and often I would because of the ministries that I was involved in, and I would bring home a case of Pepsi. You ask Shelley, you know, what was like flowers to you? Back in the day, it was Pepsi. Now it's soda water. The point is, you get to know the wishes of another person by spending time with that person, by getting to know what they're like. So, yeah. So, I mean, there's much more to that relationship than Pepsi, but but you know what I'm talking about. So it's that way with God. So to read His Word, to reflect on His Word, to you know, I use the word meditate, but don't think of it as a quiet thing. Meditate could actually be speaking His Word, memorizing His Word. It's actually the Word is you know, just let it go through you, man, and just and, you know, declaring His Word. It's a big word. It's not just a quiet moment. Go. I'm emptying my mind. That's not meditation, according to the Bible. Meditation, according to the Bible, is letting Him, His truth, His Word, go into our hearts and minds. That's what Psalm 1, you know, in Your Word I meditate day and night. I don't empty my mind to meditate. I delve into the Word. I delve into Your truth, and I let that change my thinking. See, here's the thing. If I'm praying for His will to be done, which is what we're called to do, for His will to be done, I need to know what God's like. Let's just ask, because some of you have, most everybody here has probably some idea and some revelation of God's Word that you have had to tell you what God's like. So I'm going to ask you, I want you to fire out to me some characteristics of God according to what you read in His Bible, read about the way He, you know, deals with people, treats people, the way He, you know, just say them out. What are some words? Love, patience, gracious, tender, just, strong, righteous, merciful. Sorry? Deep, forgiving, patient, Father. Come on, these are just like boom, 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 characteristics of God. So now, when I'm praying for God's will to be done, if I know His character, right? If I get to know what He's like, then when I start to pray for His will to be done in situations, then I can start bringing that character into view. I'm praying according to His character. You know, it's interesting, the word we use often, it says, pray in Jesus' name. How many of you heard that before? And people think, oh, I forgot to say Jesus' name. At the end of my prayer, I forgot to stamp it. I forgot to put that in Jesus' name. Well, let me tell you, that's not what it means. It really means praying according to His character. Praying according to what He's committed Himself to. Praying according to His promises. Praying according to who He is. It's praying according to Jesus. So you heard this expression, you know, we think, wow, it's a cool expression. I've used it a few times. And this expression, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? That's a good expression. Because it's when I'm praying, I would pray, Lord, what would You do in this situation? How would You want us to pray in this situation? Now, it's interesting because there is a general understanding of the will of God. Okay, there's a general sense. So in other words, there's several ways I can tell you that this would be the will of God. Is it the will of God to steal? Is it the will of God to cheat? Is it the will of God to kill? I mean, you know, those are general principles of the will of God. So, and we've already talked about the things that God would want because of His character. He would want love to be manifested. So can I pray, Lord, more love, God. Lord, let Your love be poured out in a greater measure in this world. Is that a prayer according to His will? So this is not a complicated thing. I can pray more justice, God. More righteousness, Lord. More mercy, God. Come on, is that according to his will? So there's a general sense in which I can make that prayer. Can I make that prayer for me? Personally, yeah. So this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, has two components. The one is there's that prayer for me. I want to be more just. It's important to recognize, you know, this, as much as this is a corporate prayer, I think we've got to recognize that it's not just for me, but it is very much for me. I can't just pray for others if I'm not praying for me first in this way. If I'm not asking God, your kingdom come here. Your kingdom come here. Your rule, your reign come here. You take over my life. I can't really, and then if I'm not praying, God, your will be done here. What good is it praying for your will to be done there? The only one that I really can pray for effectively and know that the change can be made is here. Because really, the only person I have in a sense of control of in that way is me. So the first and foremost thing is, when I'm making this prayer, I need to make this prayer saying, God, your kingdom come here. Your will be done here. You know, I shared with you earlier in the year, the Lord shared this scripture, and it was brought to my mind again as I'm preparing for this talk today. It was alignment for assignment. And that's what we're talking about. I'm saying, God, your will be done in my life, that I am aligned with your purpose for your assignment. Do you understand? Your plans, your purposes, your desires, your wishes for my life and how it interacts with my family, how it interacts with the church, how it interacts in the workplace, how it interacts with the world around me. Your alignment. In other words, I want to pray for you. Your kingdom to come, your will to be done in my life. Okay, what does that mean? Let's just take one example. I'm quick with my wife at times. When I'm like that, I don't like it, and it's not right. I'm praying, God, your will be done. And he's saying to me, how well are you doing at that? About being patient. Your will be done in every part of my life. Certain things are pretty clear because they're marked out, right? Certain things when it comes to God's will, it's like black and white, you know, it's like, and certain things are also pretty clear because of the character of God. Like, you know, it would be, I pray according to his will. This is what he's like. This is what he wants me to be like. This is what he wants my situation to be like, right? Okay. But some things are not that black and white. Like that clear cut, that just is this or that. There is this thing we would call the general will of God, and there's this thing we call the specific, or some people even use the word secret will of God, or something that's not yet revealed. It's not necessarily in the pages, and I read it, and it's like this, you know. It's exactly what, most of our life is lived in this place where we're just living according to God's ways and God's word. We're just living life, just basically being obedient. This is what God says, my heart desires to obey him. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. But there are decisions in life that I make. I'm being obedient, but there's decisions in life. Like I give you these, we have some college students here, or people looking at life with careers and choices they're making. It's like, well, what's God's will for me for my future? You know? You know, if you want to pursue medicine or a career in medicine of some type, I'm understanding that. Well, this is you coming before God and you're saying, Lord, again, it's that place. I believe this is God's will for my life. So you're praying, your will be done on earth. Your will be done here, on a personal level. Now, when you're praying for the will of God in that regard, on a personal level, on decisions that you're making, you're not sure yet, you know, what First of all, let me tell you, it's very important to go to God with it. It would be foolish. And the sad thing is, oftentimes we actually kind of just go ahead and do the thing and then say, God bless it. Are you following me? We make a decision, say, this is what we're going to do. And they say, God bless my work. God bless my decision. But the Lord says, first of all, pray. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek me first. There is a place when we go to God first, things are just better. Now, I'm human. I don't always go to God first. I forget, or I think I just got to do it, you know. So and things sometimes don't go so well, but God's gracious and merciful because He knows us very well, and He takes care of those things. But it's so important that we consider the will of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God. Seek Him first. So you're in the decision. You've already made a decision. You know, there are ways that we can determine what the will of God is. It's not like it's not like it's hidden, secretive, or, you know, mystery that He doesn't want me to know. There is a place that I believe God wants us to know His will for our lives. When we pray, we're praying, God, Your will be done. Now, remember, always keep in mind that this will of God will be according to the character of God, according to the Word of God. There will, you know, when it comes to a personal decision, by and large, the weight of the Word of God in that decision is critical. It's key. It's important. And then God's given us His Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad? How many glad that the Spirit of God lives in us? Come on. Holy Spirit is given to us to lead us. John 15, it says, the Spirit is there to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And all into that place of realm of an understanding of the ways of God, even the very detailed ways of God. So you make I always have felt this way in terms of, I shouldn't say that, but I've come to believe this is the way. That when I'm asking specifically for the will of God and praying, Lord, Your will be done in this matter. So let's just use a really weird example, like really kind of an example that you might all be kind of thinking about. Well, it might be something. The Lord's given me some extra money. I wanted to get RSP. Okay? Or I need to, you know, I'm just saying. Well, if the decision I'm making, there's nothing, you know, it's not like, there's no moral compass to that. Are you following me? So God's not giving me, I don't open the Bible and say, okay, I need a verse for that one. It's just that simple. Okay, so I'm just saying, okay, Lord, I'm doing this. I actually just did it because tax purposes are coming up, and for me to do something like that would be beneficial. I'm just saying. So what I went and I got counsel from somebody at the bank, and we decided on this. And now, for that decision to be made, it was like I could pray, and probably in the mind I'm thinking, Lord, I want Your will to be done. Like, do I? And for me, the decision, when you make that decision, you're going into that arena to that decision. It's like if there was a red light, if there was a red flag, if there was like, you're going in the wrong direction. It was like, boom, then you stop. Red light should always be a stop. You know, so for what does that mean? I would feel it unrest. I'd feel uneasy. And there could be warning signs, other warning signs God would give me. I'm just using an example, right? Or if it's just something that, hey, and the other thing I want to say this is important. If you're in a partnership, in a relationship, a married couple, you know, I think it's important when we look to God's will concerning matters, concerning decisions that we're making, that we're looking to God for His kingdom to come, His will to be done, then we look to our spouse or our partner, you know, and talk it over. And there's that, because there's a sense, there's a realm of peace that comes when we have it together. Amen? This is really important. Because not to be independent. This is, you know, just because somebody thinks they have a better handle on it, you know, on let's just say finances, well, it's so important that we still talk it over. It might be true that one person has a better idea and understanding, but it's vital to talk it over. So there is a place of peace that you walk in when we talk about the will of God and the purposes of God for our life. So I have to give you an example. You've heard this probably before. I was at Long Creek Baptist Church, pastoring for over the years, 1990 to, I stayed there till 99. And in the midst of that, God's Holy Spirit came and just wrecked me from being normal in that regard, in regard to his understanding of the Holy Spirit and where we needed to be. And so it was in the mid-90s, and I'm going through the struggle of just, but, you know, still just wanting to be, you know, preaching the word, incorporating Holy Spirit. But anyways, in the late 90s, it became obvious that this wasn't going to work in this setting. Okay, I'm just leave it at that. Are you following me? Okay. So we weren't going to, you know, it wasn't, at this stage, the direction I was going, it was just not a good fit with the church, okay? Which is okay. But I was struggling, and I'm saying, Lord, you know, I don't know what's going on here. I don't feel like I can push this stuff, you know? But at the same time, I'm just trusting God. And all of a sudden, this would happen. So there were some people in our church that are more apt to listen to the news than I am. They're, and especially the news on CBC Compass. This is, I hardly ever listen to it, I'm sorry, for those of you that are good to listen. But they are current on news. And they read this article, or they heard this thing, or maybe it was on The Guardian, I forget. But anyways, they're current on PEI News. They got this thing, and they said, Pastor, did you hear that there's a ministry coming to Charlottetown? It's coming to Charlottetown. It's called Harvest House. And I, you know, we had just finished an Alpha course, by the way, and then we did Experiencing God. How many of you heard of that course, Experiencing God? And it was Henry Blackaby's course, you know, just knowing God, what he's like, and experiencing him. It kind of brought more life in the Baptist culture without pushing it. Are you with me? Because it was done by a Baptist, you know. But anyways, so we were doing this course. In that course, Henry Blackaby made this statement. He said, to know God's will for your life, sometimes God shows you his plan and purposes by, you know, putting something in front of you and giving you almost like giving you a call to join him in that activity. Like God's doing something. There's a, you know, so these people had just finished this course, Experiencing God, and they saw something in the paper, Harvest House opening in Charlottetown, and they were keen to serve God, and they knew their pastor's heart. And they said, Pastor, do you think we should go volunteer? Do you think we should all go check it out? There's an information meeting coming up. So they said, let's go check it out. I said, sure, let's go check it out, because I wanted to check it out. But at the same time, I had no idea what God's plans were. So I just went for the ride. First meeting there, it was like nobody else there but me, in a sense of what I'm hearing. And the connection that I felt at heart with the guy who started Harvest House, Cal Maskery, it was like, boom. It was like, man. It was like, yeah, what's going on? And what's amazing is it was such a powerful connection in terms of what the vision was, to see something at a street level, just touch people, you know, to bring the good news of Jesus to those that are hurting, to those that are, you know, in difficult life circumstances. And I'm saying, yeah. So I said to our people, let's go volunteer. So I was a volunteer. Three or four people from our church volunteered. And within a few months, the Lord started to say to me in my heart, this is more than just a voluntary position. I said, what do you mean? And then Cal, one day, the founder of the ministry, he wasn't staying. He's in Moncton. He was just coming to see something started. And he was asking God for somebody to take leadership and take this ministry over in Charlottetown. This was like 6 or 8 months into the beginning of the ministry. We got talking, and it was like, there's so many more factors that are involved here. And I'm thinking, God, are you really saying that, you know, to me, I'm talking between God and I, because God's stirring into my heart. Maybe you're the guy. I said, God, I got a pretty comfortable job here. There's a salary every week here, every 2 weeks, you know. And this job, really, there wasn't a job. There wasn't even a job here. Do you understand? There's no job here. to somebody to help lead something that's not even hardly started. Budget of that ministry was $19,000. We rented at that year, and we rented a place, and we just kind of took care of rental, took care of taking care of needs of people. And that at the end of 1998, I was convinced that God wanted me to quit the job, quit the position as a pastor at Harvest House. So I'm praying, God, I know this, that my spirit is already unsettled, and I'm thinking about what's next. And the Lord just, he drops it into my heart. And he said, this is next. And from a human point of view, all of that, those factors played into it, but they didn't really play into it. I was more concerned about being in the will of God. Now I'm going to share something with you that's regrettable in this whole situation. I didn't include Shelley in what was going on in my heart. Hear me out here, guys. I am human. God was saying things to me, doing things in me, and stirring in me for this call that I believe was really his call, but it was not shared verbally. So you'd have to talk to Shelley about this. It was a long time. Linda knows a little bit about it because she's a cousin. It hurt her deeply that I made some decisions concerning this matter without consultation, So there is something to be said about that. I'm just saying that out of my heart to you. So I did resign at the end of 1999, the church, and we totally went by faith into the ministry of Harvest House, expecting God to take care of us with two kids and a mortgage payment and a house, and a car payment and all that. The whole works, right? You just picture it. So we were there for 8 years. And in the midst of that, this is where we planted the church. I was there from 2000 till 2008. In 2006, another faith venture. We just said, like, we met with people in Stratford, and we started this church. But the point of all that is, it's just the way of God. But it's how do you know the will of God? Well, in the midst of that, I'm asking God the question. And this is one way that we may have to do this. We may have to ask God for clarity. It's a big move. Come on, this is not a little move here. Other than the fact that I regret not consulting Shelley, which would have been very important. Hindsight, right? But there is a place, though, God was speaking to me. And I wish I'd have shared these things because it was so critical for her to know. Like I'm asking the Lord, and the Lord gives me this vision. And it's a vision of clear vision, but it's a vision of a biblical story. So when God will speak his will to you, sometimes he'll do it in a vision. So for me, it was a biblical story of Jonah. And it was really vivid. It was like I'm praying to God and say, God, do I really do this? And there was other evidences, and I'm going to share them with you in a minute. But the first one was this vision, and the vision was, it was the word of the Lord speaking to me. I'm having this communication. I'm seeing this picture. I'm seeing Jonah. And God says, you're like Jonah. This is what he said. Really? He said, yeah. He said, this is the description how he gave it to me. He said, you're Jonah if you don't leave, because I'm giving you the direction to leave. To leave Long Creek. And then he said, listen, if you leave, this was important. If you leave, I'll take care of the ship, which is Long Creek, and I'll take care of you. Your provision will be made. So it was pretty clear. Like, I'm thinking, okay, Lord. Now, it would have been good for Shelley to hear that, right? Because it was hard for a wife and a mother of two kids to think, this guy's leaving a salary position. Think about it. Women think differently than guys. Yeah. However, then the Lord gave other evidences. It was like really amazing. This guy that we knew, he just came up. He was American. I mean, he's living in PEI, but he's American, well-to-do businessman. He come up to me and he just gives me, I don't know what it was, $1,000 or $1,500 US. He said, this is to help you the first month that you're going to be off. And then our church, Long Creek, actually, it's interesting. They actually said, we'll supplement. Listen, a church that you're resigning said, we'll supplement your income for the first 6 months. We'll help support you. Come on, this was like crazy, radical. So they helped us a little bit. And it was just amazing how the Lord worked it out. It was like one thing after another. I'm just saying is when you take a step of faith in the will of God and the purposes of God, you pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. He directs and he guides and he opens a way. He points the way. He gives us other things. The other way that God may speak to us, and how many of you had the will of God confirmed through a prophetic word? Okay, this is the direction that God may be taking you. You know, you're getting a sense about it, and you got it. You know, you just, whether it's education or whether it's career or whether it's whatever it is, you know, there is a place where this part of the will of God, where it's very specific, you know, this part of the will of God, it often comes through these words. Now, they don't always have to be prophetic word, but they're a word in season. Are you with me? There could be a word I read in Scripture, but it's in season. Boom, it's right there. It's right to the point, right? So, and that's God's heart. God's heart is that we won't be walking in darkness. He leads me. Isn't that great? That his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word, that word, rhema word. It's not just, there's a general sense that his word leads me, but there's that direct, specific sense that I can trust. And then when the word of the Lord is spoken at that moment, it's like, boom, it's like a witness. It's like, yeah. Or sometimes it's a launching thing. I don't know what, but there's something about the word of God breathed by the Spirit of God. In a moment, it just has power to give us what we need to hear. So is that making any sense? So this is so important that we recognize that God's heart is that we pray for his kingdom to come, his will to be done. And in that regard, don't do what I did. Not consult your wife. I had to repent. I had to deal with the issues concerning that. And it took a little while. She supported us. She supported the ministry. It went well. And, you know, we wouldn't have lasted 8 years if it hadn't. But it was just that there is a place where it's so vital to just hear God's word, God's will, God's way that he's communicating with us. And sometimes God will use circumstances. You know, as you move into this idea of hearing God's, what is God's will, you're praying for God's will, he'll just set it up. It's like open doors or closed doors. How many of you had that happen? Open doors, closed doors, you know? So it's like you're thinking, okay, this is the way to walk. And I'm telling you, through those 8 years at Harvest House, it was crazy, wild ride. It was amazing. I mean, at the height of where the ministry was, God had given us, Jonathan knows, man, we had three buildings that we owned. Probably $1 million worth of property if you consider the three buildings. A few hundred, I mean, close to that, wouldn't it? $750,000. Yeah, it was like crazy. It was like, you know, within a few years, there was just, and we had a men's residence, a men's shelter, a women's shelter going on, man. And we had another ministry happening in Summerside. I mean, we were just crazy, man. Jonathan's still on the board at Harvest House. He's up there. You guys know Jonathan Smith. Jonathan was with us for many years as I was directing. He stayed on the board when John Bennett took over. So, yeah, it was just amazing. I mean, I still shake her head and wonder how things have happened over those years. But so this is, it's just the way to get an handle on. So it's important to pray this way when it's personal. I want to just wrap it up with just a final thing. So when we pray for God's kingdom to come, his will to be done, first and foremost, it's, Lord, what's your will for me? You know, what's your, and then I think it's important to recognize God's will as we pray is for everybody. It's for the world. Okay, so I'm praying, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on PEI. You know, some of you come to the house of prayer and we're praying for corporate things, are we not? We're praying for bigger things, you know, more general things, but they're specific prayers, but we're praying for bigger issues. So, okay, let's God, your kingdom come. Your will to be done. Let's just even take it even smaller on a corporate level. God, your kingdom come, your will be done for this church. Let's just pray, just think of that for a minute. Does God want this church to be more loving? Come on. So can I pray that for the church? Can I pray, God, give us more grace? Come on, can I pray, give us more wisdom? Come on, that's one thing I pray for regularly, because some of the decisions that I feel I have to make at times, it is like hard. Okay. I heard something the other day and it really blessed me. I don't know how much it has to do with the message, but I'll share it anyways. I'm sure it has something to do with it. The Lord just brought it to my mind. And what he brought to my mind is this, that, you know, we think that God, that we're going to serve God, and it's great that he's given us these abilities. And we look at our strengths and say, these are the strengths, these are my gifts, these are my strengths. That's how I'm going to serve God, with my strengths. I look back at life, and look back at my experience, and then I listen to this message the other day. I say, God, I'd be kidding. You're so true. God wants to use our strengths, but our strengths can be our greatest weaknesses, and our weaknesses can be our greatest strengths. Our weaknesses, the areas that because it's there. Here's the thing. It's after all, his kingdom come, his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. My strength can actually have that potential of my will to be done, where in my weakness, he gives me strength for his will to be done. So don't feel like, I shared this with you about the house of prayer. I am the last person to think that I'd lead a house of prayer because I stink at prayer. I'm saying, God, you ought to be kidding. He started to put it on my heart to lead a house of prayer. I said, God, you got the wrong person. Have you checked out? No, listen, I'm being honest with you. I don't spend hours on my knees, or however, raised hands or on my knees. You and I know what I'm talking about. I'm not praying. I'm not a praying man. God says, that's okay. Are you obedient? You're not praying, man, but are you obedient, man? Are you a man who's going to obey? Sure, let's go. You know what happened and what's happening. It's just amazing what God's doing. It's not my great prayers. What the Lord did was said, listen, I'm going to come into that weakness and I'm going to make it strong. Come on, Lord, do it. Another place that I'm weak is I don't like confrontation. Some people thrive on confrontation. I run from it. That's just my nature. But you know, I don't know how many times over these last several years I've had to be in a situation where I gotta. It's like, and the Lord says, okay, I'm gonna come through, but it's in your weakness. So I've had to ask God for grace and wisdom and mercy and the ability to speak into things that I just, you know, would make me feel like, oh, I'm too much of a pastoral heart to confront. That's my nature. Are you with me? Do you follow what I'm getting at here? So God's kingdom coming, God's will is happening, but it may not be according to my thinking and my ways. I didn't want to go there, but I did. Lord, thank you.